ladies and gentlemen, is the fight song for the University of Texas. Destroyed Michigan 31-12. Third downs in the first half. See if this is good, Jeffrey. Converted 8 out of 10.
And one of the ones that was missed was a third down that was a touchdown that would have got called
back. That's exactly right. Quinn Ewers looks terrific. Now, let me ask you this. In two games, he's thrown for 595 yards, 6 touchdowns, 65% completion percentage. You, as a Giants fan, look like you could well be on
the
way.
Quarterback market.
A, in the market, and also in the running for a high pick. I think it's fair to say that.
Yes.
Can't we say that this early in the season?
Well, I think those go hand in hand.
So, how you feeling about Quinn?
This was, I think, one of his more impressive performances because this was more than just him hit. Like, if you take the Alabama game last year, a lot of times it was like hitting big shots, hitting big plays. This was a performance where he just kind of like solidly played quarterback. He was getting to his second and third reads. He was moving around the pocket. He was just cool, calm under pressure. Like, he was hitting the right guys. This was, I think, the best pure game I've watched him play.
And then in terms of Michigan, we knew. I'm sure you're texting Mark during this.
Well, he has soccer games, so we are in the no spoilers zone.
Oh, he was in the no spoiler.
Yes.
Well, he's going to use some spoiling. If he was told to stay away, not to watch it later. It's fine. Honestly, when you have a national championship and the year they just had, it's fine to have an off year if you believe that they're going to get right back. Are they going to get right back? What's ahead for Michigan?
I mean, the problem that I see with Michigan is how do you wind up having this bad of a quarterback situation? I mean, I guess the idea is, well, we thought Alex Orji was going to be our quarterback. We didn't find out until it was too late, and so they didn't really have a backup plan. But, Jeff, they're, like, incompetent on offense.
Totally incompetent on offense.
Like, they're not even able to run the ball.
All right, who's next? There you go. Listen, NC State didn't look good in week one, so maybe it isn't this is a game that in the summer, people are like, it could be a little tricky there for Tennessee. Well, it's not tricky. Tennessee wins 51-10. I'm going to ask you this because we're going to get, what are right now the tiers in the SEC? Right after week two, what are the tiers in the SEC?
So I think Georgia and Texas are on their own tier.
Is Georgia not on its own tier? By the way, Clemson, which Georgia made look pathetic in week one, Clemson destroyed App State 66-20. So maybe Clemson isn't just, they're dead. It's over for Dabo. Maybe it's just Georgia's on its own tier.
I still think Texas presents enough problems that I'm including it.
You're not putting Tennessee on Texas's tier?
No, I'm putting Texas.
Ole Miss on Texas's tier?
No. To me, and then that next tier is Tennessee, Ole Miss. And then I don't know what to do with Alabama because that was the most misleading score.
A totally misleading score. Alabama beats
weekend.
USF 42-16, but with 6 minutes left, it was 21-16.
Correct. With USF with the ball.
With USF with the ball.
Like, yeah, that was a very misleading score. The biggest problem with trying to determine what Tennessee is their weakness is going to be probably the back half of their defense, but we don't really know, like, who can exploit that right now.
So Nico was good. All he threw was 2 picks. Dylan Sampson, 132 yards, 2 touchdowns rushing. The story really was defensively. You had the Will Brooks with the touchdown.
That was the game.
That was the game right there.
Because it looked like it was, NC State's going to drive in, make it either, a one-score game, take the lead, and
all of a sudden you got an 85-yard touchdown return. That's it.
Yep.
They also, though,
completely shut down.
Forced three fumbles and recovered 2 of them. NC State comes out, converts their first 3 third-down opportunities, and then goes 0 for 12 the rest of the way. 0 for 12 is 0 for 12, and 143 yards total.
NC State had 12 drives, one scoring drive.
It was damn impressive. If you're a Tennessee fan,
they averaged only 13 yards a drive.
Well, crank up the next song here. Crank up the next song, because I want to ask you this. It's ridiculous. You know when the biggest complaint is the coach saying fans shouldn't leave early, that you're doing something right.
Yeah, it's Saban 101.
Lane Kiffin, Saban 101, really disappointed in you Ole Miss fans.
Mm-hmm.
Ole Miss 52-3 over MTSU. Jackson Dart completes his first 24 passes. Another quarterback who could be available to the New York Giants, 377 yards. Henry Parrish with 165 yards, a nifty 11.8 per carry for him.
Four scores.
It's just, so who should be more excited? Tennessee fans, obviously excited. Ole Miss fans, obviously excited. One of the people I was cycling with over the weekend, I said, how do you feel about Ole Miss this year? He's an Ole Miss fan. He said, I feel about them like you feel all your bills. They're going to break my heart. But that's just, he's conditioned. You know what I mean? It's
sure.
Just like, that's I totally relate to that. That's just PTSD. But you've got two teams in Tennessee and Ole Miss, both electric offensively. Who should be more thrilled right
so,
now?
So, I promise I'm not giving a cop-out answer because I was asked this on Saturday. I think they're the same team. I think they're both, like, the same questions that I have, which is secondary, I have for Tennessee and I have for Ole Miss. I guess if I have to, like, you have to pick one.
Who's the better quarterback, though?
I'm going to pick Ole Miss simply because Jackson Dart's played
more games.
He looks like he's in complete control. And then I also like Ole Miss's defensive front entirely better. You know, Pierce may wind up being the best player. But I think
as a unit,
I think Ole Miss is deeper, rotates more. I think if I have to like pick one, that's who I'm going with.
A lot of fun for both of them, honestly. And then when you combine Memphis being ranked, we don't do the TAMS rankings anymore. But it could have been great with Arkansas.
Arkansas, Britain. Jeff, I will never forget that loss as long as I live.
39-31. In double OT, there is no way Arkansas should have won that game like 72 times over.
Jeff, there was not a moment in the game in which I wasn't covering until the exact scenario played out the way that it did, which is you needed Oklahoma State to win the coin toss to begin overtime. You needed it to go to a second overtime. Oklahoma State had to score a touchdown, get the two-point conversion, and then prevent Arkansas from scoring. That was the only way I was ever going to lose.
Oh, my God.
Because the line was 7.5. Well, now, I got that good old-fashioned closing line value of you could have gotten 10 points on Saturday, but when we had to take it on Friday, it was 7.5.
It is funny. It's one of the things that I was talking off the air to John Martin about the task that you have on Friday, and he said it's impossible because you don't get to choose your lines when you want to choose the lines. Like
correct.
You can't choose them early,
and we don't know injuries.
You get no value. It's no gambler could make a living that way.
Correct.
Anyway, absolutely crushing for Arkansas. It's possible though. I'll try to silver lining here for Arkansas. It's possible they're not bad.
No, I actually think they're every reason that I liked Arkansas, I could see it. Like, I think offensively, they are much better. I think their defense.
Quentin Jackson has been tremendous both games.
They kept Oklahoma State from really doing anything. It was just, it was the
Ollie
turnovers.
Gordon basically dead. Yeah, it did nothing.
And then, you know, like, I know everyone wants to focus on the punt return, but it's like, I don't actually fault the punt returner. He called a fair catch. He wasn't trying to make a hero play. It was just like a bad fluke. The guy in front of him gets blocked into him, and he maybe misjudges the punt by a yard or half a yard, so he's trying to hop up and get it, and he just falls on top of the guy that just got shoved into his feet.
While we're discussing local schools, Vandy rolls on.
Diego Pavia
rolls on. Yeah, in our TAMS rankings, It would be, it's so far been a glorious start to the year. Mississippi State, they got basically blown out. Came back, made it a little closer.
I need them to come back one more time.
Okay. What's next? Was this in the system?
Yes, it was. We've played it before,
but it's been a long time since Nebraska.
I don't even recall the last time we played it.
It's just been one. Like, you see other schools, they're down, they bounce back. Oklahoma, USC. Nebraska's just down and then further down and then further down.
Tennessee?
And, you know, Tennessee, again, down, bounce back. Exactly. Nebraska has had no bounce back, but now, maybe. They got a head coach, they got a quarterback, and that's a nice combination. And they controlled Colorado 28-10. Sacked Shador, who then, I don't really blame him. He threw his offensive line under the bus, but it's a bad offensive line. Of course, assembled by his father. That's the thing. My dad picked this offensive line. Colorado's just not very good. They got good players. They got
Really hear anything from Deion last week.
No.
Like, to me, there's always a tell. It's like if you hear Deion kind of doing the circus act during the week, he feels pretty good. When it's usually pretty quiet on the Boulder front.
All right, we knew Jeffrey had a bad week gambling, so I decided we have to blow up two teams. And we decided to blow up two teams this week. One is a special. Mm-hmm. And by the way, two very good fight songs we're going to be blowing
up. Yes, absolutely.
Two of the best, you know, after you get past Michigan, maybe the two of the best out there. Fire it up. Great fight song. Losing a cow for your Auburn Tigers. I can only imagine it broke your heart, Jeffrey.
I must say this, though. Everyone thinks that I am now...
You're not anti-Auburn.
No. But also, I've noticed this. When he has these losses, and I get to see like all those wonderful camera shots of him with that dumbfounded look on his face, it's not bringing me the joy that it used to, because I've never wavered. Like, I firmly believe that he's just not that good of a coach.
Well, he certainly has not that good of a quarterback.
Well, but who picked it?
He picked him. He picked him.
They could have gotten a quarterback.
Four picks. He picked him. No, there's no question. He picked him. Whether you're talking about Hugh Freeze or Penny Hardaway or any other coach in basketball and football, they do the grocery shopping and then they cook the food.
Well, and also, we saw Peyton Thorne last year.
Yes. He's not good.
Like,
still not good.
Whose fault is it? Is it Peyton Thorne's fault, or is it the person that keeps running him out there?
It is the person who keeps running him out there. Still not good. But the bigger upset of the weekend, and this pained me, honestly. It was glorious for the winner, but for the loser, it's such a gut punch. Fire it up.
Jeff's guests appear on the Frame Corner phone lines. Frame
Corner. It's true, my guests do appear on the Frame Corner phone lines. We'll get to the good part of the song here. That's another reason it's not as good a fight song as Michigan.
No, that's called building.
It takes so long to get to the good stuff.
Your favorite fight song's actually like 5 minutes long.
It's like more crust than actual pizza. Anyway, Notre Dame loses to Northern Illinois 16-14. And it wasn't some fluke. They were outgained 388-286. They were 28.5-point favorites after the win last week, when everyone said it, so I probably said it too. You know, Notre Dame is going to be favored every game in the rest of the way. They may not lose a game. They're a lock to go to the playoff. Well, they were. 73%, according to all these computers, to go to the playoff after beating Texas A&M. Down to 34% chance now as they... And here's the problem. It's not just that they lost, which would be bad for Notre Dame. It's that the way they lost and the way their offense looked reminds you to say, oh, that's kind of how the offense looked in week one, too. And maybe we stink on offense, and maybe, here's the worst part, our quarterback isn't good. Other than running the ball and being an inspirational leader.
I think Riley Leonard is exactly what Riley Leonard's always been, which was, the difference was last week, Connor Wegman was just worse. Connor Wegman was just horrible. Like, this week they go up against Ethan Hampton, like, he wasn't, like, amazing, but he stayed on schedule.
Right.
He made no mistakes. Like, that was the
thing. That interception, they're leading 14-13 at just a brutal pick.
I mean, just it's an absolute dagger.
Last week, he threw for 158 yards. This week, 163 yards.
It's basically the same, like, same number.
Two picks. And so that is just devastating. And for the head coach, now you've, let's see, you've lost to Marshall 2 years ago. You lost to a bad Stanford team at home. And you lose to Northern Illinois at home.